Loves Me Like a Rock. 1973, Paul Simon, and it was a top 10 hit. The song is about the special connection between a parent and a child. My mama loves me. She loves me. She loves me like a rock. And it was certified gold. You know, we've been in this series, Top 10, and we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, 10 values for living. And we looked at the first four values. They're rock solid. I believe they're foundational. And that one, we're to have no other God. Just one. We're not to bow down to anyone or anything else in our lives. And then we talked about you shall not misuse the name of God, that we should use it in a proper way when we do use God's name. We should think about it and be very calculated how we say God's name. And then last week, David talked to you about remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And the first four commandments are vertical in nature. They're about our relationship with God. Many would say that's our theology. The last six commandments are horizontal. They deal with our relationship with one another. Deals with the what I'll call the ethical aspect of life. And as Christians, the first four commandments should determine our ethics. In other words, when we get this right, it determines our ethics this way. We live in a culture that is upside down. I mean, when it comes to the ethics department, we're just backwards. Culture allows ethics to determine their theology. And maybe to be more correct, I shouldn't say theology, I should say philosophy of life. But God says that once you put me in the right position in your life, then your ethics and your behavior will begin to change. And today we're going to look at the fifth command. And you're going to notice that the rhythm is changing here. You know, God being God could have chosen any relationship at all to highlight, but God picks the relationship with our parents. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother. God said it. Now, why did God choose parents? I believe that the parent-child relationship is a critical cog in our connection with God. And we'll kind of unfold that this morning a little bit. If you look around at society today, I believe it's not popular to honor parents. Just look at, think about movies that you watch or sitcoms or songs. Most of media, not all of it, but most of the media presents parents as kind of clueless. And so culture is progressively riding what I'll say is that pop psychology wave where we're victims in life. We're victim-driven. We often kind of shirk our responsibility. And that it's okay to regularly blame someone for whatever problems you have. In fact, many times what happens is we shift the blame to parents. You know, my parents messed up. That's why I'm like I am. You know, my parents dropped the ball. You know, they put my diapers on too tight and just messed me up, you know. My parents said no to me too many times. And they said it in a tone that I didn't like. And because of those problems, I have problems today. I mean, does this sound familiar? It is a popular trend in our society today to blame, and especially to blame parents. The fifth command says, honor your father and your mother. And to help us kind of get a handle on this, I want to address three things just real quickly. One, the meaning of the command. I mean, what's God driving at with this command? And I want to look at the mentality of why would God make this one of the commandments? And then I want to talk about the implications of how do we begin applying number five, this particular commandment. And I will tell you, those three things are things that we should always be considering when we're studying the Bible, that we should think about those things, you know, the whys and how and how do we apply. And we need to remember when we're studying the Bible, it's not just about information. It's about transformation in our lives. You know, we're not to worship the Bible, but we're to take God's word and live it out in our lives. And sometimes that is the challenge, isn't it? But that's why we're studying these principles. I believe they're God-inspired. These Ten Commandments literally were forged into stone on Mount Sinai. And God, like a loving parent, was guiding us and loving us, a perfect parent, because God has our best interest in mind. And so that's why God shares different things with us of how to live life. So let's look at the meaning of number five. You know, first, I think we've got to understand what honor means. I mean, honor, many would say, well, honor is respect. And I would say that's in the ballpark, but it's not quite it. You know, our society, we use honor and respect kind of synonymously. But there's a little difference here for us to understand. Society, we just kind of bunch it together. The word honor in the Hebrew, it is a much stronger word. It is a more encompassing word. To respect our parents means that we hold them in high esteem. But here in the fifth commandment, when it says honor, it means that we're to take our parents seriously. Seriously with our attitudes and our actions in life. And it's kind of a dualistic thing, that my attitudes and actions should reflect how seriously I respect my parents and how serious I am about holding them in high esteem in their lives. So I just want to ask a simple question that's very complex. Are you honoring your parents? Now, up front, I think the command assumes a lot. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, just trying to work your way through it, it assumes that you know your parents, that you know your mother and your father, that you know them well enough that you can honor them, that you can show appreciation and love. And the fact is, some people don't know their parents. Furthermore, some people do not have good relationships with their parents. And I'm going to say something about this a little bit later. You know, we'll get into this in more detail. But God understands that some of you have painful backgrounds. God understands that you've been hurt or neglected or abused, maybe been taken advantage of by your parents. God sees that. He knows that. But I know right now for some of you, just thinking about mom and dad, it's kind of causing you to sweat. I mean, it's upsetting. And so I want to be very careful as we move through this. One, I want you to hear this. There are no exceptions here. There's no escape clause in this. A bunch of attorneys didn't get together and go, okay, what are the Ten Commandments going to be? And, you know, let's figure out how far this can go. That didn't happen. If you've gone through abuse or pain, stay with me. I'll address that a little bit later. God has really tough words for parents that would hurt a child. But bottom line, God says you got to take your parents seriously and you got to honor them. And so let's kind of look at the meaning behind the directive here, all right? You know, this is tough stuff, but you know, when you get behind the directive and you're looking at that, the fact is God has shown us how he wants us to live our lives. The mentality here, and I love this about God, because anytime I read God's word, if you read long enough, you will find that God tells you his thought process. God will say, here's what I want you to do, and I'll show you why I want you to do it. And God did not want us to miss this one. In fact, he was so concerned about it. Four times in Scripture, he will reiterate this same principle. He wants us to see the perks of following and honoring our parents. Deuteronomy 5 says, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So if you honor your parents, I mean, what's going to happen? Well, things are going to go well for you. It provides a sense of stability in life. Paul would later write, he'd say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in Colossians, Paul writes, he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then the passage that we're focusing on this morning out of Exodus, it says, honor your father and your mother, goes on, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. All of these passages have a very common note in them. If you honor your parents, here's what you can expect. And it gives us all those things. And if you live within the guidelines, here's what's going to happen. And when I read those passages, I think, I want that. I want things to go well in my life. I want to live long. I want to do the right thing. I want to please God. And there's a lot to take in here. Let me say something to adult children. Adult children that have kind of toxic tendencies or attitude, maybe a little rebellion going on. You know, adult children that have kind of taken this parent-child relationship and they've just stuffed everything down. You know, there's a lot of anger, resentment, kind of buried it, you know, buried it in places that most people can't see. Why? Because they don't want to deal with it. You know, it's a little bit like toxic pollution that's beneath the surface. I had a good friend of mine. He used to work for the EPA. And part of his job was to identify toxic geographic areas, pieces, tracts of land, what have you. And so he would pinpoint the land that was contaminated. And then the other part of his job was to figure out a plan for removing the toxic waste. Friends, we need to open our hearts and our minds to this command. And we need to give God the toxic stuff, if you've got it. We need to give God the toxic stuff, the rebellion, the attitude. We need to ask God for forgiveness for those moments when we've dishonored our parents, when we've to just give it to God and allow God to begin to clean things up so that we can honor our parents. You know, God is all about family. When I read Scripture, you find God's design from the very, very beginning. You know, when you go to Genesis, the beginning of creation, it was family-oriented. God's always dealing with families. When you read through the Old Testament, Adam and Eve's family, and he's dealing with them. You know, Noah's family, Abraham's family, Moses' family. And in fact, the children of Israel, they were God's prevailing family. And Christians, if you're a Christian today, we're part of the family of God. Family is God's divine structure. It's a structure that helps supernaturally link us to God. Most of us, if we were honest, get our concept of God from our families, didn't we? So we've talked about the meaning of honor. We're to take our parents seriously with our attitude, our actions. And so there are these perks that come with us honoring. But let's talk about application, because this is where the rubber hits the road. How do you make this command real in your life? If we're going to get this right, it is a building process. In other words, if you're not practicing the first four commands that we talked about, you will struggle with the next six commands. You'll struggle with this command. You know, if your idea of the commandments is, hey, I'm going to pick and choose which ones I want, I will tell you, you will miss out on some really great things in your life. If you neglect God's word on the number five here, I will tell you it will create problems in your life. So how do we honor our parents? Well, first of all, I think you have to have love. You know, Jesus, he said this. He says, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I read that and I think, well, what's Jesus talking about there? Well, you notice if you keep God's commands, it allows the theology, this, to determine our ethics. We remain in God's love. When we live with God's love in our life, we have God's favor in our life. And when you think about it, that's really incredible that God would link that stuff together. Do you want God's favor in your life? Have you ever thought about that? Do you want God's favor in your life? I don't know about you. I do. So what does it mean to love your father, your mother? You know, love isn't just saying, hey, I love you. I think about Jesus, when he was looking at the world and the rebellion and sin, Jesus didn't just stand there and go, man, what a mess the world is. But I love you guys. I mean, he didn't say it. He says, I love you, and I'm going to show you that I love you. I'm going to take initiative, and I'm going to repair this relationship. I'm going to get rid of sin. I'm going to just wash it out so you can have a relationship with God. I'm going to make it possible. I'm going to build a bridge to fill that gap between you. In fact, I'm going to do it in such a way that I'm going to give everything up. I'm going to sacrifice it all. And I'm going to die for you. I'm going to make an eternal difference. See, it was action there. It was more than words, right? You can say, I love you. But friends, it doesn't mean much unless you do something. Unless you take initiative. Unless you put something on the line. I've always said, love requires sacrifice. Love requires sacrifice. And I wonder, does that describe the kind of relationship you have with your parents? Youth? Young people? Adults? How are you showing love? And the next step, you got to forgive. Forgiveness helps every relationship. And forgiveness is a two-sided thing. It's two-sided, and I'm going to apologize up front. We're going to camp out on this one for a little bit. Now do the KOA thing, okay? And just kind of settle in. But I want to talk about forgiveness, and this is a big, big topic. But it's crucial in life that we get a handle on this. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, 26, 27, he says, if you're angry, do not sin. In other words, it's okay to be angry, just don't sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. If you have unforgiveness in your heart and you let it settle in, you know, if you're harboring hurt or pain, if you're holding on to something and won't let it go, you're giving the devil a foothold. And friends, I'll tell you, it will knock you down at some point. The good news is you can knock the devil out by letting go of stuff. The word forgiveness in the Bible, when you look it up, it's to send away, to be done with it permanently. You know, maybe today's the day you clean the slate. Maybe today's the day that sin, that rebellion, all that stuff, you let it go and you forgive. How many of you have ever noticed your parents get smarter the older you get? Let me see your hands. It's true, isn't it? I mean, their IQ goes up. You know, I tell parents that are being challenged right now with kids still in the nest, your kids at some point will go, wow, they weren't as stupid as I thought they were, you know. It just happens. I remember when, as a teenager, you thought, my parents are brain dead. They don't get it. It's part of being a teenager. Now, here's what I know. And I've been talking to families for years. Most parents do the best they can with what they have. There are no perfect parents. There are no parents that didn't make mistakes along the way. But the vast majority of parents do the best job they can. If you have a problem with them, if you're holding on to stuff, if you allow unforgiveness to go way down in your spirit, this is my best advice to you. Let it go. It is hurting you more than you realize. And I know, as I say that, some of you right now, you're thinking, you don't know what I went through. You don't know what it was like growing up in my family. You don't get it, Damon. You must have had good parents, and I had these horrible parents. You know, there was abuse, there was alcoholism, there was drug addiction, there was fighting all the time. You don't get it. And I will tell you, I don't. I try to understand, but I don't, and I can't truly identify. But there's someone that can identify with it. His name's Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus can identify with your pain and your hurt. You think about when Jesus went to the cross for us, went and took on our sins. His best friends in the world turned their back on him. People spit on him. They cursed him. They abused him. They tortured him. So here's the deal. You can take your stuff, your hurts and your problems and your pain to Jesus, and he does understand. You give it to God and know that God settles the accounts. You know, you don't need to hold on to your pain. In fact, it's hurting you. And you don't need to seek retribution, so to speak. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, it'd be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck, you were thrown into the sea, then for you to cause one of these little ones, he's talking about children there, one of these little ones to stumble. That's some strong language. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's some tough words there. He says, you hurt a child, it'd be like putting a 400-pound boulder around your neck and being thrown into the Mississippi River or something. In other words, Jesus doesn't just brush it off. You know, someone gets abused or messes up a child. He says, I'm taking note of that. But you've got to let it go. Satan wants you to hold on to it. He wants you to harbor it. He wants you to feed on it so he can steal your life. And at some point, you got to say, you know what? No, I'm going to release it to God. I'm going to let God deal with that. And friends, I don't care if your parents are in denial, if they're clueless about the whole deal, let it go because God's trying to set you free. Some of you need to get with your parents. And you just need to say, you know what, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I look back on it, and I've had this attitude. I've disrespected you. I've had all this rebellion going on. And I'm sorry. You know, will you forgive me? So some of you are in that place. When was the last time you did that with your parents? Honor your father and your mother. Do you know what the penalty in the Old Testament was for disobeying your parents and dishonoring them? It was death. Disrespect your parents, speak sarcastically, condescending ways, boom, it was over like that. Now, thankfully, we do not live under the law, because I'm going to guess we'd have about half the attendance we got this morning if that had been true. Maybe we'd all been wiped out, you know? But here's my point. Set the record straight. Forgive. Forgive. Do it for yourself. Another way we honor our parents is to cooperate with them. One of the ways that we honor them is by cooperating with a spirit of love, with a spirit of forgiveness in our lives. Are you cooperating with your parents? The fact that God placed them in your life. Do you ever think about that? God placed your parents in your life to mold you, shape you. Good and bad. God placed them there to help you be the person that you are today. You know, God has managers in your life or bosses in your life for a certain reason. You know, God's placed pastors or coaches or teachers in your life for a reason. And the thing I have figured out in life, things go much better when I begin to flow with God's chain of command. You know, otherwise, it's a very bumpy, bumpy ride. Very bumpy ride. I remember when my girls, they were still at home, they were little, and we would get together and we would play games, and one of the games we loved to play was Solar Quest. Anybody ever played Solar Quest? I'm just curious. Yeah, okay, like one. it's a Monopoly with a twist. Instead of properties, you had planets. Instead of shoes and thimbles and hats, it was rockets. And you could move around the board, and what was kind of cool about the game, you could shoot and attack one another during the game. And so the goal of the game was to become the ruler of the universe. And so we would have intense games sometimes. And if someone was close to winning, what would happen, we'd all team up on them. And we'd begin to attack them, try and disable their rocket and put them out of the game so they couldn't win. And I remember one time, Alicia, she I think ended up winning the whole game, becoming the ruler of the universe. But we hit a point, and we all teamed up on Stacy. And so at the end of the game, there were a lot of tears, trauma, and drama. You know what I mean? I mean, even pastor's kids have a tough time sometimes. And so we got done. I said, okay, let's pick the game up. And so Alicia and I were nicely putting the pieces in the box. Stacy was throwing the figures and the cards in. I mean, she was like Jake Arrieta, you know, putting them in the thing. And so I watched for a moment, and then I said, well, you're doing what I ask you to do, but let's try doing it with a different attitude. Friends, we can kind of quasi, pseudo, cooperate with our parents. But real love, real forgiveness, real honor is doing it with the right attitude. You know, we do not honor our parents because of what they have done or what they have in life, but because of who they are. If you're a parent here today and you have kids still in the nest and they're in this service, I want you to cover your ears up for a minute. Mom, Dad, just cover your ears up and your neighbor will let you know when to quit. Young people, I'm going to tell you something that will change the dynamic in your home. The next time your parents say, hey, take out the trash or pick up your room or, you know, could you run an errand for us or, you know, can you clean up your mess? Anything like that, when they ask you to do those things, I want you to turn to them. Now, you're going to scare them when you do this and go, I'd be glad to do that. I would be honored. It will change the family environment. All right, anybody's got their hands up, neighbors touch them, let them know they can listen now. Seriously, and then come tell me about how it went. All right, final piece is value. Value. Value your parents. Value your parents. When you were born, you were dependent upon your parents. As the years roll by, at some point, your parents will become dependent on you. We are to value our parents at every stage of life. Every stage of life. You know, once in a while, I'll be out in the atrium and I'll have a teenager or a young adult or a not-so-young adult, and they will start the conversation saying, I was yelling at my mom the other day, I was yelling at my dad, and I will just stop them right there. And I'll say, if you're yelling at your parent, you're wrong. You're wrong on this one. You are not valuing them. You're not respecting them. You're not honoring them. No matter what you're arguing about, no matter what age you're at, you're not doing that. You know, young people, don't talk to your parents flippantly or sarcastically. You know, don't roll your eyes or, you know, watch your body language. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. And I know some of you younger ones think that you're smarter than your parents. I get that. You know, you think you're smarter because you can operate your computer or your smartphone or the iPad. You can operate theirs. You know more than they do. I get that. You may know more about technology. Probably do. But your parents know way more about life. Way more. They have more experience than you. Way more experience. So at the end of the day, honoring your parents means deferring to them if you're living at home. Let me say something to grown children. I was reading a while back, it was a survey that had been taken, and it said 40% of parents say that their children failed to help them in times of need. We are called to honor our parents. We are called by God to honor our parents. You know, when Jesus was dying on the cross, when he was dying for you and me, Scripture doesn't record a lot of what Jesus said on the cross. In fact, he didn't say a whole lot. But one of the things he said, and it's often overlooked, Jesus looked down and he saw his mother at the foot of the cross, and he saw John, one of the disciples. And he said to John, John, take care of my mother. Value. How do you do this? Well, here's a couple quick suggestions for you. One, make sure your parents' needs are being met. In other words, make sure they have food and clothing, that their basic necessities are being met and taken care of. Include your parents in special days, birthdays, anniversaries, holidays, those types of things. And then do thoughtful things for them. You know, pick up a card. Just write them a little note. You know, send them an email or an e-card. You know, buy them a gift. It doesn't even have to be expensive. But it speaks volumes to them. And I don't care what age they are. It speaks volumes. It says, I love you. I was thinking about you. And I will tell you, you are modeling for your children. Set the right example. Or you may be sad that you didn't, if you get what I mean. Here's the deal. One day, your phone's going to ring. And you will get that dreaded call. It's your dad. It's your mom. And I will tell you, in that moment, one of a couple things is going to happen. You will either hang your head in shame because you turned your back on that command, or you will hold your head high. And through the tears and the sadness, you'll hold it high because you know that you honored them while they were alive. You got to love them, forgive them, cooperate with them, and you got to value them. And that's how you honor them. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, we thank you for parents. We thank you for the direction they gave through the years, the discipline, even though we didn't like it sometimes. God, we thank you for their love. Sometimes we weren't very lovable, but they loved us. God, I pray that we would honor them as you've called us to honor them. God, I know there are some that are caring for their parents now. It's taken an enormous amount of energy, but pray that they just realize that they're doing what you've called them to do, that you'd give them the energy and the strength to just do what it is they need to do. And God, I also know there are some here today that this just stirred up a lot of stuff. God, I pray they would just lay all that stuff aside. Today be a new day. That they'd figure out what it means to honor their parents in light of past and struggles and mistakes. God, we thank you for family. I pray for the moms and dads right now that are in the season of raising their children, that you would give them strength, that their children would honor them. God, we give you the praise. This day and every day. And God's people said,
amen.
There'll be prayer teams down front. Maybe you got something going on in your life today that you just need someone to pray with you. you can, I always say this, but you can share with the teams, or you can just say, hey, we need prayer. Would you pray for us? And hope you'll take that opportunity. Let's worship together.